the words that hang us up the most are, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is important. Think about this. If God forgives you the way you forgive others, are you in trouble? Most of us would say yes.
That's just ahead on this episode of Guerrilla Christianity.
Take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn them with me to the book of Matthew. It's found on page 20 of the New Testament, if you're following along in the pew Bible. Matthew chapter 18. And verses 21 to 35 will be our reading today. Well, first of all, I just want to say welcome to those of you who don't normally join us on a Sunday morning. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Brett Walker. Now, this past summer, we have been examining the book of Romans all summer long. Beginning in June, we've been going verse by verse through the book of Romans. But today, we're going to look at one of the most basic tenets of Christian teaching, which is the doctrine of forgiveness. Forgiveness. We said in our Apostles' Creed, we said we believe in the forgiveness of sins. And that is not just the forgiveness of our sins, but also our forgiveness of other people when they sin against us. So today we're going to see in the words of our Lord Jesus who we are to forgive, how we are to forgive, when we are to forgive, and why we are to forgive. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you this day. This teaching is not easy, but we pray that your Holy Spirit will be upon us as we open your word, that your word would speak to our hearts today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, we observed the anniversary of 9/11, a date that many of us remember. 9/11. You know, we don't have to say the year. We know exactly when it was. We just say 9/11, and we know exactly what it meant. We carry with us the images of the World Trade Center collapsing, the Pentagon smoking, the crater in Pennsylvania where some passengers had overtaken a plane and flown it into the ground to save more lives at their own expense. But I was reading this week about a woman named Phyllis Rodriguez. Phyllis lost her son Greg in the World Trade Center And years later, she heard of another woman named Aisha El-Wafi. Now, Aisha El-Wafi is the mother of Zacharias Moussaoui, who is the man who orchestrated the attacks against us on 9/11. He's currently serving a life sentence. Aisha El-Wafi, as his mother, took it upon herself to come to the United States and to meet with families of the victims, to reach out in love, knowing that it was her own son who had created such devastation in our country. Phyllis Rodriguez, who again had lost her son Greg, she said, "When I saw Aisha in the media coming over when her son was indicted, I thought, what a brave woman. Someday I want to meet her when I'm stronger." Well, they did meet. They did meet, and they formed a friendship because they were both mothers. And Phyllis initially thought that she could never forgive the people who killed her son. But she has since found forgiveness. In her words, "When Greg was killed, I thought, I will never forgive the people who murdered my son. But I have come to see forgiveness as more than a word. It's a context, a process. I don't forgive the act, but trying to understand why someone has acted in the way they have is part of the process of forgiving. Forgiveness is being able to accept another person for being human and fallible." Forgiveness is what we're talking about today. We read this story that Jesus gives to us about a forgiving Lord. Forgiveness, in the words of David Hockett in his essay, "The Practice of Forgiveness," he writes, "Forgiveness is a practice, a discipline made possible by the grace of God, not some heroic act of the will. It is something that we practice again and again on a daily basis until it becomes a part of who we are." The word Christian, initially it was a derogatory term. Christians were called Christians because they followed Jesus, who called himself the Christ. And so they were called Christians. The word means a little Christ. If they were followers of Christ, then they also are little Christs. That's who we are today. We're called to be little Christs. And so forgiveness is what Jesus came to offer to the world. And forgiveness is what we are called to offer to one another. Little context for this story. Jesus is teaching his disciples in a house in Capernaum. And he had just given them some instructions on how to handle a member of the church who sins. This is what he says beginning in verse 15. "If another member of the church sins against you, that's very important. It's not that they are sinning in general, but that they are particularly sinning against you. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone," he says. And then he says, "If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. He says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven." So what he's saying is, we're to offer every opportunity for repentance. And so forgiveness comes at the end of repentance. In this case, when a member of the church sins against another member of the church, I don't know, they slander them, they lie, they cheat, they steal something from that person, some way they have harmed that person, first they are to go to them directly. And if they won't listen to them, they will take a couple members of the church with them. And if they won't listen to them, then they bring it the matter to the whole church. But this is not a light thing, like somebody was just gossiping behind your back. But this is something big, some big sin. Peter. I love Peter. Because Peter reminds me of myself. He's always thinking, you know, sometimes I think to myself when I'm teaching up here, I might say something to you that might trigger something, and all of a sudden you're no longer listening to me. You're thinking about that thing that I said like 5 minutes ago, and you're still hung up on that, right? Well, this is Peter, okay? So Jesus says, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. And if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. And this starts Peter thinking. And he thinks, and he's thinking about, what's the worst wrong that somebody ever did to me? You know, can I really forgive that? And he's not really listening to Jesus at this point. And so you can tell that because after Jesus gives all these instructions, Peter came to him and said, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often shall I forgive? As many as seven times? Now, we have to understand this. The common teaching of the rabbis of Jesus' time was to forgive three times and then no more. Once you've forgiven somebody three times, they're done. The fourth time, they're done. And they get this from the book of Amos. In the book of Amos, it says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not revoke the punishment. So in other words, the Lord would forgive them three times, but for the fourth time, he would not. And again, in Amos, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not revoke the punishment. And again, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not revoke the punishment. So the rabbis of Jesus' time said, okay, so you can forgive somebody three times, but if they go a fourth time, you're done with them. You don't have to forgive them anymore. So Peter thinks to himself, you know, Jesus, he turns things around. And he goes beyond, you know, what we normally think. And so he's thinking, what if I took those three times that we're supposed to forgive and I double it, right? Or what if I go even one more and add, you know, make it seven? You know, he, in the back of his mind, Peter's probably thinking, I'm the super disciple, you know? And Jesus is going to be like, wow, you are amazing. What, seven? Are you kidding me, Peter? You are awesome, right? That's what he's thinking. But that's not how Jesus reacts. Jesus says to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. And Peter's like, what? And the thing is, the way this is translated here, it says 77 times. Other translations say 70 times 7. You can translate it either way. It's really kind of difficult with the numbers. But Jesus' point is not that you're to take out your little black book and go, okay, this is number 65. I forgive you. Just understand that you only have 12 left, okay? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, don't count. Just keep forgiving. When Jesus says 77 times or 77 times 7, he's saying that the number is inconsequential, that we are to forgive every time. Not to keep a record and then suddenly cut somebody off after so many times. In Luke chapter 17, in the same teaching, Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And do you think that would be tiresome to have to forgive somebody seven times a day? But that's exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. So Jesus tells a story to explain. He tells a story about this king. And the king has a servant who owes him an unbelievable amount of money. In the book it says, in this translation it says, 10,000 talents. And we might think, well, that sounds like a big number, but how big is it really? Because we don't know what a talent is. Well, a talent in Jesus' time was roughly, get this, 20 years worth of wages for a day laborer. 20 years worth of wages. Okay? If you're a day laborer and you owe somebody 20 years of what you can earn, would you think that that's a lot? Probably. Okay? Let's put it in conventional terms. Okay? 20 years of the average American salary, $48,000 per year, times 10,000, okay? Because it's not just 20 years, it's 10,000 times that amount. I did some rough calculations. It's $9.6 billion, okay? Again, we can get hung up on the numbers. Jesus said he owed 10,000 talents. Basically what he was saying, I guess in contemporary terms, if he told this story today, he would say he owed a bazillion, jillion, quadrillion, zillion dollars, okay? Like this unpayable debt. This debt that he couldn't possibly in his entire lifetime pay back. And so his Lord is going to hand him over to be sold together with his wife and children and all their possessions and payment to be made. Now there's no way that he's going to recoup all that this man owes just by selling him into slavery. He'll probably recoup a very tiny little fraction of it, okay? And he knows it. The money's gone, basically, okay? So the slave fell to his knees before him and said, "Have patience with me and I will pay you everything." And then we're told that the king, out of pity for him, released him and forgave the debt. In other words, he said, "Fine, go on your way. You don't owe me anything." Wow! Now, we think to ourselves, you know, that's an enormous debt to forgive. But again, let's consider the facts. There's no way that the slave could have repaid it. There's no way that the Lord could have recouped it by selling him into slavery. But he forgave him. He gave him back his life. That's basically what he did. He forgave him and he gave him back his life. Now you'd think that someone receiving such mercy would be merciful in return. He goes and he finds another one of his fellow slaves, and this one owes him 100 denarii. Now a denarius was the wage of a day laborer. Okay, so you worked for a day, you earned a denarius. So 100 is 100 days wages, like about 3 months of wages. Okay? A large debt, to be sure, but not insurmountable, not unrepayable, and also not equal to the debt that he owed to the king. The fellow slave says the same thing, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." But this time he refuses. He threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. Now the things that we do are not invisible. The things that we do, people will see. In Numbers 32:23, it says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." So we don't sin in a vacuum. And so his fellow servants heard what happened and they went back and they reported it to the Lord. And the Lord brings this servant back to him and he says, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay the entire debt. In other words, he withdrew his forgiveness because the slave was not also forgiving. And then Jesus ends the story with these words, "So my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Those are very chilling words. They're very convicting words. You know, to forgive from your heart is to mentally and emotionally release someone from all that is owed. But by releasing them, we are releasing ourselves from resentment. We heal the relationship and we heal the wound caused by the hurt. Forgiveness is a healing salve for the soul. Jesus taught about forgiveness often, and He modeled forgiveness for us. In Matthew chapter 6, He taught His followers the Lord's Prayer. We know the Lord's Prayer. They said, teach us to pray. He said, pray this way. And He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then He says, for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then He circles back. All that He gives us in this model prayer, He realizes that the words that hang us up the most are, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is important. Think about this. If God forgives you the way you forgive others, are you in trouble? Most of us would say yes, myself included. It's not easy to forgive the way that God forgives. It's not easy to forgive the way that Jesus forgave on the cross as they were driving the nails into His hands. He was bearing our sins, not His. He didn't have any. Bearing our sins onto the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I don't think that was meant just for the ones who were driving the nails. But I think it was meant for each and every one of us. Father, forgive them. This act of forgiveness, this sacrifice made in our place, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's the forgiveness that Jesus modeled for us, and that's what He called us to. And after He gave us that model prayer, the thing He circles back to is forgiveness. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We're called to forgive. We're commanded to forgive. We've been given forgiveness like this servant who owed this unsurmountable debt, because we too owe an unsurmountable debt. We could never pay off the debt that we owe to God because we broke His commandments. There's nobody sitting here, I'm sure, who has not broken one of God's commandments. Any of them. In our society today, we are taught to believe that if you're good enough, that God will forgive you. But God doesn't forgive people who are good. God forgives people who are in debt to Him. God forgives people who sin. And so none of us are good enough. If there was anybody who was good enough by their acts to earn their way into heaven, then Jesus died for nothing. Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross was necessary because we owed a debt that we couldn't possibly pay. We owed a bajillion zillion dollars to God. And Jesus, in this story, He's the invisible figure who steps up and says, I will pay all that He owes. That's an amazing thing. Jesus paid a debt He didn't owe because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. The King is a figure, a picture of God on the throne and how He forgives us. We're the ones who owe the insurmountable debt. But the question is, when Jesus steps forward, when we are standing at the throne of God, and He says, how will you pay this debt? And when Jesus steps forward and says, I will pay the debt, what is your response? For a lot of people in this world, in our society today, the response is, I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. That's the wrong answer. It's an insurmountable debt. It's an unpayable debt. The right answer is to fall to your knees, to thank the Lord Jesus for His sacrifice for you. So I want to ask you, have you accepted that? That sacrifice that Jesus made for you. What an amazing thing it is that He paid your debt. And all we have to do is to believe. To believe in Him who God sent to pay that price. The book of Romans tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. To believe, to confess. That's it. That's all it takes. It's so simple, but it's not easy. And a lot of people have not done it. So I'm thinking, I would like to give you an opportunity, if you haven't accepted the sacrifice that Christ has given to you, that today is the day that you might say, I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of saving, and to accept what Jesus has done for you. God offers complete forgiveness for all of our sins. He asks us to go forth and to forgive others the way that He has forgiven us. And since we have been given forgiveness over this insurmountable debt, let us go forth into the world with love in our hearts for each other and an attitude of forgiveness for all. Let us pray. Father God, we come to You this morning knowing that we owe entirely more than we could ever repay. And we also know, Lord, that You loved us. Your word tells us that You loved the world so much that You gave Your only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. We lean on that promise today. We offer ourselves to You in praise and thanksgiving, knowing what Christ has done for us on the cross. And so, Lord, given all that You've done for us, is there anything that we wouldn't do for You? To live our lives dedicated completely to You, to praise You, to worship You, to live and to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord of my life. He's the Lord of all of our lives. And He directs my steps. And He leads me where I should go. And what He says I will do, and where He leads me I will follow. And my whole life is Yours. Because You gave me life. Because You gave me breath. And because You sent Your Son to die on a cross for my sins, for my sins, for all of our sins, Lord. What more can we do? Fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we can go forth in love and forgive as we have been forgiven. All this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity. We sincerely hope that this teaching today has blessed you. Now, we are happy that you chose to listen to our podcast, but you know that this cannot be all there is to your walk with Christ. So, we hope that you are also active in the local church to worship with a body of believers. And hopefully that church believes in the Bible, preaches the gospel, and loves Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you are not attending a local church and you live in the Salem County area, you are invited to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn worships at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown worships at 10:30. We also hope that you are regularly studying God's Word, and maybe you can join a local Bible study as well. We have Bible studies on Monday and Thursday nights, and right now we are studying Echoes of the Reformation in observance of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And finally, we hope that you are not just attending, but also serving in your local congregation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life in atonement for our sins. So we are invited to follow his example and to serve in whatever way God has called us to serve. Join us next time for Guerrilla Christianity as we continue to open God's Word and apply it in our lives today. Until next time, God bless you and keep you. Amen.